I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 16, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name's Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is man who has had his MCC membership revoked. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
It's dark days, Michael. It's very dark days. And I don't want to mislead the Junk Time fans out there who know that I've been desperately waiting for one MCC membership at the Melbourne Cricket Club at the MCG.
Yeah, I remember maybe 20 years ago, one kindly member out of the goodness of their heart signed your form for you. So
yes.
To represent as a representation of the club to show that you're a man of good honour and good faith. Yes.
And they've regretted that ever since, that delightful person. But not many people know I was a member of the Marylebone Cricket Club over at Lord's in London. And I was over there, obviously, when the Ashes are on, they fly me over because they're like, Rosie, you're fucking one of the greats in the long room. We love you here.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be great. Yeah. And things got a little testy during the game. Obviously, the Johnny Bairstow stumping, legitimate as it was, set all the Englanders off. And it's amazing how when there's a little bit of to and fro between the two countries, they just get really ticky-touch with all the kind of rules that go around the MCC. Yeah, like they said to me, and I had it revoked, because they said that my VB singlet didn't have a collar.
Ticky-touch-wood.
Mate, I have worn. Do you know how often I have worn that in there and sat there with all the guys from like Oxford and Cambridge, and we laughed about it, Michael.
Yep.
We laughed.
Yep, it's absolutely disgraceful. I'm behind you. If you need to protest or anything, if you need to run on the ground and throw orange powder onto the pitch at any stage, I will be right behind you.
Think about it. They said that my boater hat was not allowed to have two beer cans on either side of it with straw coming out of it. And you just go, when did this rule come in? I don't know about this shit.
I'm sure you were there going, the beer's warm. Don't worry, the beer is warm.
Yeah, I'm doing what you people want. They said that I can't do a shooey with Pimm's.
Oh,
now,
I
don't want to be a part of a stuffy club that doesn't allow you to do a shooey with Pimm's. I mean, come on.
Draconian rules.
And also, I don't know whether you know this, but once it gets overcast over in London and the lights come on at Lord's, it's only mid-strength Pimm's available.
Oh no! I mean, we all dream of cricket fans going to Lords, but if they're the kind of dark ages rules that they have, it's no fun at all.
There's not even any chicken salt to put on your pheasant. Like, I don't want to be a part of this bullshit fucking club that they've got anymore.
Oh, dude, wasn't it beautiful though? Wasn't it just beautiful? I binged on the footage yesterday, and even there was newer footage actually out today, but just watching the members in the long room just lose their fucking minds. It was absolutely glorious.
And also too, because you just know that the stuffiness of some of those blokes who come from the absolute top of the aristocracy who have never had a thing go wrong in their lives. Yeah. Like the worst thing that happened is like a great-great-grandfather passed away and didn't leave a whole estate to them.
Yeah, sure.
And so when that thing has happened, and especially from a penal colony, like they've gone, fuck these, fuck them. They've just, and you could just imagine them getting all wound up and the fucking red wine bubbling to their fucking nose.
Red in their face and just thinking their jowls just fucking swaying in the air. Like,
it was just beautiful. Jiggling.
It was so fantastic. What did you think of the actual run out though? Like I mean, it's all fair. Like it's like, the spirit of the game gets bandied around when you're not on top. Okay.
So I'll tell you what's not the spirit of the game, and that's sandpapering half a ball. Okay.
Yeah,
I get that one. Fair enough. But the fact that the Poms and Johnny Bairstow himself had done that to Marnus Labuschagne 2 days earlier.
Like 48 hours earlier. it's like, this is disgraceful. But we did try to do it 2 days ago as well.
You know who they kind of remind me of, the sort of all the, you know, the people whinging about it? They sound like Eddie Maguire when things didn't go his way. Because remember there was a couple of years ago when he was president, and he was like, ooh, we don't want to, what if we have to play in a way preliminary final and all this? And he kind of lost his mind, and Bucks was like, we don't care where we play, you know, it's not a problem. It may not come up, you know, and the team that would have hosted the prelim lost anyway, so it wasn't an issue, but he just fucking lost his mind.
That's a very good comparison, Eddie Maguire, and it's also the cricket kind of comparison. Like, you know, when we take the catch, it's a catch. When they take the catch, it's not a catch. Like that, this whole Eddie's modus operandi.
Yeah.
I've been to Lords. I've told you, haven't I?
You've been to a game, haven't you? I've been to Lords and did the tour there, but I didn't go to a game.
So when did you do the tour?
I reckon it was like 2000 or 2001. That new sort of space capsule looking media centre was brand new when I went.
Sure, yeah. I've done the tour a couple of times, and I went to a game there for the Ashes in 2009. So, yeah, due to my elite status.
Yes.
You get reciprocal rights. So I went to 4 days of the test over there and we lost. And
were you in the long room?
For day three, I think, my brother and dad and my mum and I went into the long room.
And what did you wear? Did you wear like, did you just wear your Xavier uniform? You just look like a fucking complete
No, no, I wore my Hawthorne retro jumper.
Yeah, good.
No, I wore my brother's suit. My brother's probably about 4 inches taller than me, so it was just kind of, it looked a bit funny. But but it was cool. Like, you kind of felt like you were spies, like, as the players came in. So I think Australia was batting, and my brother and I were kind of leaning over, kind of like whispering, kind of going, go, Ricky, come, mate, come, punter.
It is an interesting thing, though, for the players to have to walk through, to walk through the crowd. Like, can you imagine if the AFL benches were like 8 rows back in the members?
So
the players have got to go through there, and you just be like, you'd be absolutely giving it to them.
Well, someone told me, and this could be a cricket fact without notice or merit, but someone told me when Hayden and Langer walked out in the 05 series, there were no ropes, and they basically kind of had to kind of fight their way through.
I believe that's true. I believe the ropes was only a new thing and probably a post-COVID kind of thing just to keep people away from each
other. Well, there were ropes back then, so that was 2009, yeah.
Okay.
So, but no, it was cool. I remember the one feeling I remember was that when an Australian would go out, it would really hurt. Like, like, really
you're surrounded by fuckwits.
And that's it took me like for it to happen like 3 times before I realised, I've never been at a game where we haven't been the team. You know, when Australia goes out the MCG, it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
But unless like, you know, like India's
I've been to many games in Chittagong in Bangladesh, but obviously you don't travel to those subjugated countries. You prefer to go to the motherland.
So it dawned on me. But then I actually got talking to a bloke sitting next to me. I think I've told this story on the pod before, but I got talking to a bloke sitting next to me, and his dad was the tour manager for Australia for years.
Okay.
And so he said, you know, in the 50s or 60s, whatever, he said dad would leave for like 4 months and come to England and do the tour. And then actually the Queen came out to present to do a shoey of Pimm's. And
she loved it.
She came out and met the players, and he said, "I've got a photo at home of my dad introducing the Queen to the Australian cricket team, like from 1960 whatever." And then I found out his full name. His name was Dowling, and I was like, "Oh,
not the Dowling Cup,
the Dowling Shield,
Shield,
yeah,
really."
So it's named after him, which I played in the under-16s for Hawthorn Glen Waverley, and Jonathan Brown played. Fun Jonathan Brown fact, but I was like, fuck, that's a weird, you know, connection.
But okay, so you talk about you know, the players having to go through the crowds, and it just reminded me of, like, you know, when you see 1950s grand finals at the MCG and the crowd were on the boundary. Like, if you haven't seen it, it's like they were to the boundary line, and I wonder, what was the incident that happened? Was there like a child that had his face raked with some stops? Like, how did they stop it? Like, when did they go, you know what? You know that guy who fucking punched the player when he fell into the crowd and just gave him a little bit of a cheeky underneath fucking bang?
Because, you know, like, you've seen like Shaq like jump into the crowd, like when like, surely that happened many times in a VFL game. And then also,
they were on the actual boundary line.
Yeah.
Like, of course, the ball would have hit them. There was no throw-ins back. Was it? No, there were throw-ins back then, wasn't it? There was no out in the full.
Yeah. I mean, this is this competition that only until recently realised maybe we should put up nets when the players are kicking goals before the game. But then even I remember one of the little facts that came out of my comedy festival show this year was that when, I think it was 57 when they brought in the Premiership Cup, and neither of the captains were told what they were going to be given. They were told, go into the members and go up about 20 rows and you'll be given a lasting memento. And that was the cup. And so that's the first time they got. But
imagine if it wasn't handed out on the ground like it is now.
So imagine if, like, you know, last year, like, Joel Selwood just ran into the crowd to go and get the cup. He'd be like, fucking all over him.
He's not getting back out there. I'll tell you what pulls bigger crowds than the MCG in the 50s. And that's the Junk Time Live Show.
Oh, my God, the Junk Time Live Show. It's going to go absolutely off this year, Adam. It's that Sunday, September 3 at 4 p.m. at Morris House, formerly the European Beer Cafe. They've done a number on it. They've spruced it up, given it a little.
They really have.
And we're going to be talking to some of the names of this great game. And there was cracking events. We always have a great time.
And yeah, so we have, we have some irons and some fires and some fingers and some pies. We're gonna get some great names for you, Junk Timers. But it's just, you know, it always takes a few weeks before it falls into place. But make sure you grab your tickets. It's going to be great. Go to trybooking.com, type in Junk Time, and you'll find us there. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool, I reckon.
I'll tell you what was a fun afternoon.
Yeah, here we go.
The footy on Sunday. Oh, God. It's good to be back in the winner's circle, Michael. I mean, when you can beat a side that's desperately trying to tank and the Gold Coast at the MCG two games running, I mean, that just says back in town.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Mm. Now, I just due to work, I actually didn't get to watch the game, which it sounds good by the fact that we had kicked the total of 5 points by halftime. What is your feeling as a Carlton supporter? Because I talked to a couple of Carlton supporters over the last day. One, actually, friend of the show, Dave Hughes. And did it feel like a win? Did it feel like any kind of improvement? Or did you just kind of go okay.
Yes, I mean, there was improvement because they were just moving the ball a bit quicker, as they did against Gold Coast. But you just can't. We beat West Coast by 110 points, you know. And Hawthorn are just not a quality side. They didn't have James Sicily. So it's really hard to get a gauge against them.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. We are actually, we are a team that desperately needs Sicily. Like, it's so noticeable when he's not there.
Yeah, I know. It's not many sides that have one player that goes out that can really fuck up, you know, your whole sort of structure. But when Sicily's not there, and if he wasn't such a thug, he'd be there a lot more often, I guess.
Well, he basically holds down the back line. I mean, he got 40 touches a few weeks ago. And I'm still actually trying to work out, we never talked about this, what did he do wrong to get suspended? Was that a noticeable suspension for you? Like, I just found like he tackled a guy and then another player also crashed into the player.
Yeah, I think because he was so heavily concussed and they brought out the cart and then the cart left the ground and then, And you know what the worst thing for Sicily was? And he didn't know that he'd knocked the bloke out, but, you know, he did that little push in the back that they do when the opposition. When the opposition player has given away a free kick to the umpire when holding the ball and he kind of had to go over and whistle like seven times because McCluggage was unconscious to be like, you fucking held it, mate. You held it. Hey. Just rubbing his foot up against his head, trying to wake him up.
You know what apparently happened with the cart there? Is that they didn't call for the cart, and the cart guy took off.
Bloke's gone early. He's fucking... Yeah. Mate, he's sitting there, so he would be on that
does
cart
he get, does
all
he get
day.
Paid, like, per trip? And he's like...
He's like an Uber driver.
Extra time, working on a Sunday.
Yeah. He put a surge charging. He fucking went early. But also, he's so bored. He's just like, he's seen someone unconscious just going, I'm out there, mate. I'm fucking into this.
I wonder about that. You know how you have the St. John's Ambulance people there at the game? I wonder if they're kind of like going, ugh, there's nothing to do, which is a good thing. But also, do you just want someone to have a heart attack? Like, just kind of liven up the day?
Do they... So there's the ones that kind of sit in the race that you see, but do they attend just the punters who might, you know, just say you've scoffed like nine pies because they're only
$2?
Yeah,
like I know there's a particular spot at the G, like you see them in a room there, like a, you know, they've got a medical room kind of set up for, what would they be? People maybe have a fall, maybe people have a bit too much to drink, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone passed out at the footy. apart from you.
With rage. But maybe it's just a bit like a sick bay. When you're not feeling well, you go there and you have a bit of a chat. They give you a shitty woolen blanket. If you pissed yourself, they give you the piss pants like they did in primary school.
Hey, can I talk about the MCG briefly?
You love the MCG, mate.
Mate, it's the home of cricket, home of football. I managed to get tickets to Tay Tay. And I'm sorry
you
if that
did.
Makes people jealous. I apologise for doing that. But it was.
So does this mean you're no longer a Gunners man and you're now a Tay Tay fan?
Well,
you're a Swifty.
Apparently I'm going to Tay Tay now. So it was not a horrific ordeal, but I didn't have to go through ticket tech. So, Adam.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's not a horrific ordeal. People are already going, oh, this fucking bloke, as if we couldn't hate him enough already. Keep going, mate. Keep going.
I was about to tell you, this is another benefit that will come to you in a couple of years' time when you get when you get brought through their doors. I actually genuinely, I'm coming with you when you go to the members for the first time. I'm watching you eat your first crepe in the members.
And drinking out of glass. I'll be like, what's this?
So
what goes on
full
here?
Strength. I've got to only have a couple. Obviously my niece is mad about Tay Tay. They were trying everything. And then I got an email from the MCC saying they'll have a pre-sale of their own. So this was last Wednesday, I think.
Okay, just to that. Now, I don't know if you know the answer to that, but do Tay Tay fans, because obviously they're going to be in the MCC watching Taylor perform, do they have to wear with their, if they're wearing little angel outfit, they don't have to wear a collar?
No, so my ticket for Gunners last year was in the members, but it was like rock up in shorts and thongs or whatever. Like, no, so I actually don't.
But
actually,
I mean, you know, Slash wears a top hat, so it actually kind of works.
Actually, tell you what, actually at Gunners, like someone fired up some weed, which I imagine hasn't been done at the MCG for a very long time, or not very often.
Not the members.
And so obviously I had them arrested. I mean, you can't have that.
Absolutely.
But I do have tickets for it, but I don't actually know where the tickets are, like the B Reserve or something, but I'm not sure where they are. But,
and you're going to go?
I'm going, yeah. So I'm obligated to go.
Okay, and you said it was a particularly painless experience to get these tickets.
It was about an hour and a half.
The most sought-after tickets in the country last week.
It was about an hour and a half. Okay. Everyone might be thinking I'm a fucking arsehole right now, but Mason Cox is gone as well, okay? So fuck you. Do you think he didn't fucking pull some strings to get into the fucking game? Anyway, so imagine what happens is that part of the deal is the MCG goes, give us 3,000 tickets, and we can non-sell them ourselves, you know?
Yeah,
and
okay.
So I got a call from my sister. She was like, oh, I heard you maybe got an email about pre-sale. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did. I just deleted it. And she was like, oh, no, can you forward it to us and stuff like that? And anyway, I jumped on because I was like, you know. So I just had to type in your membership number. And Ticketek was obviously shitting itself. But this MCG website was shitting itself as well.
Yeah.
And then I was reading things like people were getting their mates' membership numbers and just, you know, pumping them in so they get tickets, all that kind of stuff. And so I got through like about three times where I was like typing in names and then it would crash when you get to the kind of the next, click to the next page. And then eventually I got in and I fucking was shaking. I was like, because I had two nieces melting down in Melbourne and I put in the thingo. But you could get a ticket and then there were two options
a package?
Yeah, package. So it was like drinks and nibbles in like a Jim Stein's bar, and then there was a dinner at a dining room, and so I was like, and they added like $100.
Are you for real? They were?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it added like $100 to the ticket.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to target the packages because I don't think people are going to go for them as much. So I just kept on clicking on them, and then apparently,
and who doesn't want a chicken and rabbit?
Well, that's
the
fucking
thing.
That's
the
fucking thing. Like, and so apparently, I'm going for dinner in the members' dining room with my nieces.
Great.
Before watching Tay Tay shake it off. Yeah. I can understand why people will struggle to buy homes in Australia because they drop a fucking bomb on Tay Tay tickets for their nieces. But
yeah, so I know people who paid up to like $900 for tickets.
Oh, by the time the concert comes around, like, I mean, you'll be making a profit because you'll be out the front scalping, but like,
mate,
they'll be going for like
fucking, as soon as you announced the tour, it was like Christmas for me. And especially because it's just after Christmas, so I can really jack up the prices around, you know, 20th, 21st of December. Maybe even Christmas Eve is when I'll really cash in and go, do you really want to be a good parent or not? Yeah. I mean, it's up to you, mate. I got these tickets, $8,000 cash, of course, just straight direct cash.
Well, my brother was talking to someone I think he works with or something, and I think they knew someone had paid $30,000 for four tickets for the Giant Stadium in New York, the concert there, was it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Having said that, okay, so what would I, to secure a Carlton Grand Final
I actually gave tickets to mates for 2014 because my friend didn't need them anymore. They got into a box or something, and they were $350. $350 for, I reckon, like maybe a forward pocket on ground level. So that's what, nearly 10 years ago now. So I don't know if that would even be considered like the top ticket. Surely top ticket, you'd want maybe second level on the wing. Would that be right?
Yeah, I would have thought so. And that would have to set you back at least $1,500 now, I reckon.
Yeah, so it'd be massive.
And if I knew that Carlton were going to win it, I would pay that.
And so what you're getting for like a 3-hour, 15-minute show, she does 44 hits. And
bloody hell.
Probably 44 costume changes.
Yeah.
But so you get a show too. Like Gunners was like songs, but like, you know, a background, a screen kind of changing, you know, images. But like Tay Tay, you actually get costumes and dancers and, you know, special guests and.
Yeah, okay. You know. Well, I'm going to see in October, I'm going to see a band at the Bendigo Hotel in Johnson Street in Collingwood for $30. Mm-hmm. So I get what the Swifties are on about. We're both living our best lives.
Yeah, for sure, man. You have to sleep out the front of Bass to get those tickets.
Mate, the tickets are sold out if you don't mind. You go and see Mindsnare. So don't fucking mock one of Australia's best metal bands.
So can I tell you about the email I got the next day from the MCG? Okay.
So this is after you've got your tickets.
I've got
tickets.
My tickets.
Before
I called my nieces and said that we've got tickets, I actually called my credit card company and said, can I just confirm a payment? And they went, yep, X amount went to the MCC. And I was like, doesn't say what for, does it? And they're like, no. And I'm like, good. And then then I called my niece and said, we've got it, because they didn't believe me until I hadn't told them. And anyway,
on a level of 0 to 10, how excited were they?
I think they were.
How old are they first? How old are they?
14 and 12.
Okay, so right in the wheelhouse of losing your fucking mind.
Yeah, I feel like they might have been a bit overwhelmed by it all. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
And a bit kind of...
So that's like a 12 out of 10.
So kind of calm, you know, but a bit overwhelmed. But also, the same thing is that I think my niece was told... she went to Harry Styles earlier this year and said it was the greatest...
Okay, fuck, it's a big year.
Said it was the greatest night of her life. And then she said her whole school was there. And no one got tickets to Tay Tay this year.
So you're saying that a lot of 14 to 16 year olds there. I'm just I'm just thinking out loud. I need to stock up on Nangs to sell outside the concert. But that's I'll just make a note of that and come back.
I think more vapes would be the go for you. Like for
I've
that,
got heaps
for
of
that
them.
Audience.
Heaps of blueberry and mint.
Yeah,
ready
to
roll.
I think the vaping's all the go for that world now. But anyway, so Tay Tay's doing Saturday and Friday.
Yep.
I got tickets for the Saturday, I think. Anyway, can I read this email I got the next day from the MCG?
Please.
Okay. So, hi, Michael. Would have preferred, sir. paid a lot of money, guys. Thank you for booking into the members' dining room for Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour at the MCG. Now, okay. What are you thinking when you hear these words? Unfortunately.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented demand for the Friday and Saturday shows, these functions have been oversubscribed. So now I'm thinking, okay, we're out. We're fucking out. And now.
Oh, no. I reckon I would have thought that you'd just been bumped from the dining room.
Okay.
But you've still got your ticket.
Okay. I'm thinking we're out.
Still, though, you never want to read, unfortunately, in a confirmation email.
Well, let me read this then. We are sorry.
Oh, God.
To inform you that your booking is one of those that was processed after capacity had already been reached.
Okay, so you're still thinking maybe it's tickets?
I'm now thinking I'm going to have to call my nieces and tell them we're not going.
Oh, fuck, you would have...
I'm already fucking
picturing
it going,
call.
How am I fucking going to have to do that?
Yeah.
And it says, we apologise for the inconvenience. Okay. Now here it takes a turn. But don't fret, you were still going to Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour at the MCG. And I'm like, okay, put that at the fucking start.
Yeah, that should be your subject line.
What are you fucking doing? You've taken me through a fucking ordeal where I'm going to have two crying nieces in front of me. And you've got this fucking line here. You are still going. This morning, it was announced that the third Taylor Swift tour has been confirmed for the MCG for Sunday to Onipone. And so we're going to the Sunday. We got bumped to the Sunday. And I'm like,
They changed the day.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to Tay Tay. But put that fucking good news at the top. You know when you're like, my mum will do this. She'll be like, oh, so-and-so's in the hospital. They were going for a walk, and I think it was Thursday. It might have been Friday. Anyway, car came. I'm like, get to the end. Are they okay?
Yeah. I need the good bit.
Fucking hell, MCG fucking organisers. Fucking change your email style, please.
Yeah. Well, it's probably done by some, you know, crusty old 84-year-old who doesn't quite know what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he's just put it together.
Yeah, sure.
Doris, like, should I write this? She's like, absolutely, you should, Walter.
Yeah. He's like, Taylor Swift. I remember there's a Swift who played for England in 1933.
Now, I tell you who wants to make things exciting this year is the AFL wants to bring a bit of a razzle-dazzle.
Yep.
To the draft, Michael.
They've seen how the NFL do it and they've seen how the NBA do it. I actually don't know how the MLB do it. I actually never watched one of their draft. They don't have one, I imagine.
I would think they do. I know the NHL has a draft, the hockey, so why wouldn't the MLB have one?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, but they want to bring a bit of razzle-dazzle because they seem to think that when they did it in the Zoom era, they quite enjoyed that. And we've all seen these images as well for the men's and the women's game. Like, you know, the family's around, their number gets called out, they all jump on each other, they all hug each other.
Exciting.
I have a fond memory when Jack Silvani got drafted. And mum was there, dad picked him.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, and I think they cut to him at home because he was like third round, so it wasn't the opening night of the draft.
And I think Serge might have been there as well. And
he was.
And one thing I take away from that was that Jack Silvani and I, at the time, owned the same T-shirt. And I reckon there's probably a strong probability that both of our mums bought it for us.
But see, okay, so it's interesting that I think they like what the NBA players wear, right? So they're very renowned for, you know, getting really dressed up.
Yeah.
And a lot of their suits, it looks like two blokes that have come back, or they look like a bunch of blokes that have come back from Vietnam and found a tailor.
Yeah,
and
sure, gone,
yeah, let's get that for $16. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. And then when you get back, you're like, that is a shit suit, mate.
Yeah,
that looks
yeah.
fucking highly flammable and doesn't breathe.
And there's a lot of kind of emotive phone calls to parents and, you know, my mama and all that kind of stuff. And then also there's the crowd there as well. So, you know, was it Roger Goodall in the NFL? Like, it's pantomime where as soon as he walks out, everybody starts booing.
Yep.
Or from, you know, I think if you do it in New York and, you know, a Philly player comes out, everyone starts booing and the Philly player's like, yeah, we just won the Super Bowl. And they're going, which I actually would enjoy, actually. But they go, we want more friends there, more friends of the draftees. Because I think everybody can agree, when you go to any kind of function, you think to yourself, can we get more 18-year-olds in this place?
And also, like, there's one guy who's trying to be professional and all his mates are just there riding his coattails.
Yeah, they're thinking like, oh, fuck, you're now making 90 grand a year. Fucking hell, buy me a Ferrari.
It's fucking party time. You can put all our multis on.
Well, it's just like you're buying drinks for the next year, aren't you? Like, your mates are making, $3. And it's like, you're shouting the bar, aren't you?
But it's a bit weird that they go, you know, we want them to, you know, wear, because they said we don't want to see polos. We're sick of the kind of, you know, the club polos that they are forced to wear.
Yep.
And they want them to, you know, put a bit more pizzazz into it. But then they shut that down at the Brownlow a few years ago, like 15 years ago, when they go, it's black tie. We just can't handle people in white suits alligator skin shoes.
I think Dimitri was going to stand at the door and say, you're not allowed in. Yeah.
I think because there were some really rank suits that came through and they just went, this is fucking terrible. So they went black tie, shuts it down. Maybe Brody Holland might have been one.
I think you're right. Brody Holland, I was about to say, comes to mind and maybe wearing something a bit wild and out there. Yeah, I prefer that. But yeah, but what are you going to get? Like, well, so these people are 18 and they don't have the in NBA and NFL, like, they're older, like they're 21 or whatever. And but also, they don't have that American pizzazz. Like, you know, put a microphone in front of an 18-year-old who has just, you know, been drafted number one. It's like, you know, good, I reckon. You know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, anyway, give it a crack, AFL. Hey, come to us and we can jazz it up.
Mate, we'll fucking make it work. I reckon if we hosted it.
Yeah, if we hosted it. And if you make us the official betting sponsor, make JunkBet the official sponsor of the event.
Alrighty. You want to get it happening?
If we can get a few MCC members in there, just kind of liven up the mood.
Well, why does it have to be held in Melbourne? It's 18-year-olds. Let's hold it at schoolie.
Oh, perfect. Love it. Coming
to you.
You
get a player who comes up. And he's been drafted, you know, he's been drafted pick 84. And you're like, fuck, he seems happy. He's hugging everyone. He's drinking a lot of water. What the fuck's going on with this kid? And he's like, this is awesome. Who am I playing for? And they're like, mate, I think your eyes are really dilated. You must be really happy. He's like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I have been for 48 hours.
And like because they've been having such a good time at the Gold Coast, like every player is desperately sad when they don't get picked up by the Suns. It's like, you go into the reigning premiers of 2023. Fuck! I wanted to go to the Goldie.
I want to stay here. I want to stay on Cavill Avenue, mate.
Yeah,
it's
mate.
Party time, Gil.
They got jugs down the road for $7.
Yeah.
Okay, AFL, then. We've thrown down the gauntlet. We host it. It's at the Goldie. And no drug testing.
No drug testing, and Michael and I are particularly well known as two of their favourite toolies. Mm-hmm. So we're like the kids know us.
We're
so
on a first name basis with a lot of the kids.
Yeah. So it's not like it's going to be a shock to their system when they see us up there.
Show us rocking up to the hotel room.
Yeah, exactly. What are you two doing here? This is for the draft. Don't ask us for anything else. Now, I did a gig on the weekend, Michael, and you know what? I love going back to grassroots footy. You know me, mate. I'm a man of the people.
You are. You're Tommy Hyphy.
I am. And I went back to the Maribyrnong Park Footy Club, which is in the EDFL, the Essendon District Football League. They were playing Avondale Heights, which was Matthew Lloyd's team.
Yep.
And so they were playing. It was basically, I did a gig, a function, the president's lunch. I just did a spot there as a part of that. And what I love is I was talking to my friend who's the president of it, and basically this game was to see whether or not it was pretty much the relegation cup. Like,
oh, really? They relegate, do they?
Yeah. You go down, they're in A grade, they go down to B grade. Oof. And obviously B grade come up.
You lose that television money going down to B grade.
Yeah, you do. You really do. You lose that. You lose that sweet Moonee Valley leader money.
Yeah, sure. That webcast money.
Yeah. And so I was talking to the guy during the week, the president, and he was like, oh, we're just going to have a buffet, sort of buffet food, not seated table. Everyone goes up, gets it, sits back down. Sure. And I've never seen that before, a buffet at like a local footy event. Usually it's kind of, you know, they'll bring out the roast on the table and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But what I love is just when you go, you know how many people are coming, you know how much they're going to eat. They're all ex-footballers who love to fucking eat. And the last two tables to get up, there was no food for him.
No.
You're just like, oh, fuck. So then they kind of smashed out a couple of palmers for him, and they were like, no, they're a little bit underdone. You rush through your palmers.
Sure,
so these blokes are not excited to see Rosie get up. But it was a fun gig. It was really fun. Unfortunately, how's this? They were leading at three-quarter time, and then they got run over in the last quarter.
Really?
So the chances are that they could be relegated. And how shit would you feel as, like, you know, you're a suburban coach, you're doing everything you can. You probably, I imagine, he gets paid, but not much. And
what do you reckon, like, for that, $5,000? Like, what do you
for the year?
Yeah, like, do you reckon?
I was going to say a little bit more than that. I was thinking
the kind
like
of league
$500
where,
a game.
Are you paying entry to get in?
You're not paying entry to get in, but I think they have a salary cap or a point system. So if you have an AFL player or ex-AFL player listed, it costs you a certain amount of points.
So players are getting paid?
I think so.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I don't
okay.
know. Yeah,
oh, well, more than $5,000 then if it's players are getting paid. Yeah.
Yes. But I had a footballer in real life happen after that, and I was walking out, and I was like, just before halftime, I was like, I'm going to bail. You know, I've seen enough local footy for my time. And as I was leaving, I ran into former Carlton player Luke Livingston.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's very renowned around Carlton circles. He's the player that we picked up when John Elliott kind of went Aaron Hamill. and Aaron Hamill left the club.
Yep.
The pick that we got for Aaron Hamill was pick 4, and we used that on Luke Livingston, who was a like a fullback who didn't last very long at the club and has not spoken in glowing terms.
When you say you bumped into him, did you talk to him or?
Yeah, I had a chat to him. He was talking to the president as I was on my way out.
Yep.
And we had a quick chat. He was lovely. He was a really nice guy. I kind of didn't recognize him straight away. And he's like, oh, this is Luke Livingston. And in my head, I'm like, I don't think I've ever said anything positive about you in my life.
Yeah, sure,
this
at
is
the
weird.
Ground, yeah. Elliot, was it that Hamill had signed a contract and he was asking for, he got a lot? Or was it he was in negotiations and wanted a lot? Was that the
I think
the
so.
Job?
I think he was in negotiations. And Aaron Hamill was absolutely flying for Carlton. Yeah. And that kind of, and he was one of those players that, you know, you want around the club. He was a really good clubman. Uh-huh. And so for him to leave was just a bit like, oh, this is not good for the culture.
Yeah, sure. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and keeping John Elliott was.
Yes, absolutely. And everything Carlton has done ever since has gone really well for us. So it was a good move.
It's actually interesting because I went to my football in real life last year when I had last week when I had Jared McVeigh. To recap, I was catching the light rail down to Disney Studios, and so I got on at Central Station to get off at Moore Park. And we joked that I found it strange that Jared didn't get on, and then I saw him like 2 minutes later, got it kind of on the... At the stop, like in the light rail, he kind of got on the next one as such, and you made the point that, you know, he probably was frightened that I was going to talk to
Spooked,
him. Because maybe I'd done a double take, yeah. But then I kind of, I thought about it a bit more, and I maybe agree, like, maybe he did think that I was going to be a, you know, weirdo and have a chat to him, which I wasn't going to do. Because he captain of a 2012 grand final team, so those wounds have not yet healed, Adam. But it did make me think, because he was in the full Sydney Swans tracksuit. Mm. And I was like, maybe it's a bit of an indictment on how football is up in Sydney, but literally the captain of the premiership team from 10 years ago was standing in the centre of town in a full Sydney Swans tracksuit. And one was looking at him.
So what you're saying is if Luke Hodge was getting on the tram...
A tram at Flinders Street.
Glenfrey Road.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to get on that tram.
Yeah, in a Hawthorn tracksuit.
Yeah.
I just kind of struck me. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, maybe no one generally does not give a fuck here about football. And, you know, I mean, it has been 40 years. But or maybe it's like the Swans have 50,000 fans and just all of them go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you find, so when you go out...
But then a friend made a point, like, he was like, well, it's like, you know, Cameron Smith walking down the street in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's
and you
a
go,
good point.
Well, actually, yeah, he is, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know who he was, yeah.
Do you find a lot of people, because you're obviously located at Rod Carter Studios at the moment, do you find a lot of people, or the less people talk about AFL around, you know, the office water cooler kind of chat?
There's no sport talk at all, yeah. The only people I can talk footy with are people who are from a footy state. And apart from that, like, actually... Bit of cricket, obviously, yesterday around the office, but no one's ever like, "Oh, did you see, you know, West Tigers last night?" Yeah, never
What's
hear that at
point
all.
Point of living up there.
Yeah, interesting.
You fools.
Hey, I got a football in real life from Ed. Was walking my dog around Kyneton Oval this week, only to hear someone say, "Chappie!" Turned around and hitting a 40-metre pass laced out to the Carlton Football Club player was none other than Paul Chapman, the 2009 Norm Smith medalist.
Yes.
Turns out he is the coach and possible player at Carlton Football Club. He's obviously who are obviously doing very well for themselves. Still looked in great shape and was training the Haystown with his teammates who looked at least 20 years younger than him.
I mean, Chappie was always, he just seemed like one of those blokes who wasn't going to blow up. You know, he just seemed that kind of solid, nuggety,
I reckon.
Fit kind
and
of
he's
bloke.
Also one of those players who looked 40 when he was 20. I think it's a hair thing, obviously. But like, it's like Brent Guerra, like when he got the wig, like he turned back time 15 years. And you're like, who's that sprightly young man?
Betting on the greyhounds.
But Chappie, I think he was kind of the initiator of the Kennett curse. And actually, he was the initiator of the Geelong run, really, by the fact he cracked it after like round 6 or so in 2007 and said, you know, I can't handle this. We've got to lift our game. And then they obviously went on to be fucking dominant for 15 fucking years. Yeah.
Good on them.
Fucking cats.
Anyway, we got our live show September 3rd. Sunday at Morris House. Get your tickets at Trybooking. There's going to be some great guests coming along.
We're going to hit the road via Junk Time Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. And go.
The Baggers.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at oseamalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.